Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
We have Blackhawks hockey tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. Patrick Kane and company look to make it two wins in a row tonight with the Blue Jackets in town. Blackhawks pregame live drops the puck on our coverage at 7 o'clock. Then Pat Foley and Eddie Olczyk have the call at 7:30. You can, of course, stream it on the My Teams app. We get you set for a busy night on the ice and a busy weekend in Chicago sports. Sports Talk Live comes to you live from the United Center, and it all starts right now. Hello and welcome to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. You would expect to see David Kaplan, but he's out sick. Layla Rahimi joins us instead. Happy to see Pat Boyle, Charlie Romeliotis, and David Schuster. Been a long time. What, 12 hours for us?
At least.
Yeah, since we were both at the Bulls game last night here at the United Center. So we start with the reason we are here, and it is pucks. Blue Jackets coming to town tonight as the Hawks are fresh off of their first real win over a red-hot Edmonton Oilers team. An outstanding W, 3-1. So let's just readdress that before we get into previewing the game tonight. I think that still deserves some credit, even though it's been a few days, because that was exactly what this team needed.
Well, yeah, it was also one of the best teams in the National Hockey League in Edmonton, with one of the most explosive lines in the league coming to town. They had won all of their games, 5-0 coming in here. It was the most complete effort by the Blackhawks to date, and they had great goaltending. We didn't see those big defensive miscues that we'd seen in some previous games, and they got the timely scoring, and they were physical. I mean, you put it all together, it was a great effort. They've had 3 days to think about it, and now they got to try to replicate that type of effort tonight against Columbus.
Yeah, they needed a win on Monday against an Oilers team because the slate, you know, Capitals, Golden Knights, Flyers are all coming up. So they needed something to feel good about, but the performance was just as important as the result. Like, they weren't playing very well in the first two games, and then they obviously played better against Winnipeg. So the fact that they got the win on top of the performance was encouraging.
I think it's also encouraging the fact that they won with the score that the game ended up with. I mean, a lot of people think that the Hawks, if they're going to win games, it's going to be 6-5 or 7-6, and often it will be this season. So when you win a game with defense more than the offense being the reason for the victory, I think that's refreshing for this Hawks team.
We talk about the goaltending as well. We'll see Robin Leonard tonight, but let's pay some homage to Corey Crawford and his performance coming off of what happened on Monday.
It should have been a shutout. They got a late penalty. The Blackhawks did. Oilers lifted their goalie, so it was a 6-on-4 situation. So with a couple minutes to go, they get their lone tally. Otherwise, I think we would have been talking about a Corey Crawford shutout for the first time since last March. And the reason why Robin Leonard is starting tonight is, quite honestly, the way the schedule has played out. You try to keep both of these guys fresh. They're going to play 4 games in 7 nights. You'll see Jeremy Colliton probably volley back and forth between Crawford and Leonard. Tonight, it's Robin, and the last time he played was Saturday. They got a point in that one. They lost it in overtime.
Yeah, Crawford deserves a lot of credit because I thought they were going to go to Leonard on Monday, and then they go to Crawford, and the Hawks only gave up 28 shots, but 11 of them were slot shots, and he stopped 10 of them. So he was well-deserving of that number one star of the game on Monday.
Listen, goaltending could be and should be the strength of this team. I mean, one guy's got two Stanley Cups to his credit. The other guy has been really good. I mean, this is the best backup or the best duo of goaltenders that the Hawks have had maybe in memory. So that should be, and I think it will be a strength of this team.
Yeah, that's where they put their money, which we all know is not exactly easy to come by under that salary cap. And that's where they've put a lot of the attention, is between the pipes. And you mentioned this in your story today on the My Teams app. Make sure you download it. You can stream, too. We do this for a reason. Charlie, you talked about, and I think this is what fans want to see. This is what everybody expects. If you're going to pay that kind of money, if you're going to show this attention to Leonard, you're going to expect to see a 50-50 split out of those two, Crawford and Leonard, moving forward. I think we were all a bit surprised to see Crawford on Monday, but it absolutely worked. Leonard is not bad as well against this team in the Blue Jackets in his career.
Yeah, you're paying both goalies $6 million and $5 million, so you have to keep both of them happy. Now, like Pat said, it's the way the schedule is working out. It's not because I thought they were going to go to Leonard on Monday off of a Robin Leonard, a really good performance by Leonard, and they ended up going to Crawford. And then tonight they're going to Leonard off of a good Crawford performance. So they are playing the advantages to the schedule right now, but it's going to be interesting to see how over the course of the season that they're going to handle the
load. They're going to play the hot hand. I mean, look, it might be 55-45. It might be, 52-48, depending on percentage-wise who's playing better. And ultimately this team wants to end the two-year drought of not making the playoffs. It's not about appeasing one guy or the other. They're both in walk years. They're both playing for a contract. Only one of those guys is going to be back next year. So they're ultimately going to play the hot hand more often.
And knock on wood, this is a playoff, after the last 2 years of being a drought. I don't think they have to decide, injuries aside, who's going to be their playoff goaltender. Let's just get there, they'll worry about it at that point.
Yeah, and you mentioned the hot hand. Well, after the performance against Winnipeg, I think that's why a lot of people thought it was going to be Leonard on Monday.
Well, but, if you look at the game-winning goal, it said it dipped on him. He was kind of sliding a little bit. I mean, you could argue that maybe that wasn't the best goal to allow, and it was the decisive goal. So I actually wasn't too surprised. I usually go oppo of Charlie. Charlie goes one way. I go oppo. And, who's usually right? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
just kidding.
Well, we're getting started early this evening.
Well, listen, I think they are just playing eventually they're going to get to a rhythm in the season, and they're going to play the hot hand.
Right.
But right now they have this, Leonard's, it was the Winnipeg game was his first game since that Berlin game,
right.
And it was only a half a game. So, they're playing advantage. They want both goalies going in fresh, going into this four games in 7 days. And then it's going to be performance-based from here on out.
And let's see the defense perform in front of the goaltenders on top of everything else. I mean, let's face it, the goaltenders can't win a game by themselves. So if the D plays well, the goaltenders, I have a lot of confidence in both. Let's win some hockey games.
David, that is the key, is the defense in front of them. And that also includes how the forwards play with this defensive style. One thing Robin Leonard did last year when he was posting those unbelievable numbers and he was third in the Vezina Trophy balloting was he wasn't seeing as many high danger chances. He wasn't seeing the volume of pucks that he has seen so far. So that's been an adjustment. But we finally saw in that game, and we've actually seen, I think, in the last three games, some steps forward of this team playing better team defense. There's been a couple of breakdowns prior to the Edmonton game, trying to eliminate that because ultimately that's going to decide whether or not they're playing in the postseason.
So let's take the focus now from goaltending and defense to the captain. And the question I have for you all is, with only 1 point so far, an assist on that empty net goal, I don't know that this is something where we should necessarily worry about Jonathan Toews. I think the better question is, how long does the slump last? Because he's going to play better.
I'm not concerned about the slump, but at some point, the top six in general, they do need to start producing because Patrick Kane, after that 3-point night in Prague, has one goal since. So the top six was obviously their work. They carried the load last season, and they haven't been doing that this year. So once they get going, if the they're getting that third line right now, that third line's been one of the best third lines in hockey, and if they can get the top six going, things are going to start to click here.
And look, they started this season with Kane and Toews together. I'm not a huge fan of Kane and Toews playing together. It's very easy to defend this team when you put those two guys on the same line. They have since split them up, which I think ultimately is the best recipe for success for this team. The other thing is they've only had 9 power plays. So sometimes these stats get padded by power play tallies. I mean, last year John had a career year, and a lot of that was influenced by the play, the power play. They've only had 9 opportunities. They've cashed in on 2 of them. They need to start, getting more power plays, and that's also comes with playing harder and having the puck, which is something they haven't had a ton of in the first 5 games.
And I agree with Pat. First of all, I don't like Kane and Toews together. What did Joel Quenneville call it? The
nuclear option. Yeah.
Let's save that for another time. But here's the thing I keep looking at. They've played 4 games. I mean, Winnipeg has played 9 games already. The Hawks have played 4 games. The Hawks and the New York Rangers, I believe, have both played 4 games. Everybody else has played 6, 7, 8, or 9 games already. So I'm not going to worry about this team, and I'm not going to worry about Jonathan Toews. I think they'll all be fine.
Yeah, I think that's the overwhelming opinion is it's not the end of the world yet, for sure. Though it might be in football. Let's go there. So the Bears are back. They're back from Europe. They're back from their bye. They take on the New Orleans Saints at home at Soldier Field on Sunday. And the Saints are 5-1, but we all want to know what's going on with Mitch Trubisky. Full participant in practice today, although, at least as of now, still listed as questionable. I was interested in what Chris Sims said, by the way, of Pro Football Talk. Sims said he doesn't think that Trubisky should start. Two shoulder injuries in 2 years, and I think that's his cause for concern. I think we see him Sunday. If you're a full participant in practice, we probably see him Sunday on the field.
Yeah, I agree with you. I also thought what I heard from Matt Nagy today was a little cryptic about whether mentally he's ready with the time off, the bye week, and the game in London, which to me, that put up a warning flare that maybe they're seeing something at Halas Hall that is cause for concern. And they were relating a lot of it to his first performance back after the shoulder injury last year and how he performed. Look, they know better than we how he's actually performing. I think he gives them a better chance to win. I love what Chase Daniel did in that Minnesota game, but he looked very pedestrian against the Raiders. I think ultimately this is the year to decide whether or not Mitchell Trubisky is your franchise quarterback. I want to see him out there. I know for sure Chase Daniel's not.
I don't think he was pedestrian. I think he was a jaywalker, to be honest with you. I don't think Chase Daniel is the answer. And I'm not sure who the person who said that he shouldn't start. Is that person insinuating he should come off the bench?
No, he was saying
he shouldn't play at all.
Or he should get some more rest. Yeah. Just
well, no, not if play. He practiced all week, practice you play. It's as simple as that. And he's at 80%, even though he's not the greatest thing, ever, he's still better than Chase Daniel.
And this is a very different Saints team, by the way, because they did announce their injuries. No Alvin Kamara, and also we know no Drew Brees, and no Jared Cook either. So this Saints offense, which isn't exactly a world beater at 22nd
they're winning
in the NFL
with defense.
In total offense. Yeah,
it's
this
different.
This is going to be a defensive game.
Yeah,
we
take
know
the unders, what
sure.
I think you're saying, right?
Yes, absolutely. Bears 30th in total offense in the NFL going into this one. Saints 22nd. And with both teams having weapons issues, at least the Bears are looking a little bit better on that end. Kyle Long, of course, lost for the better part of the season. And also, Akeem Hicks news. That's not fun.
Layla, this offense is it's tough to watch, to be quite honest. I mean, if you say what does the Bears do well offensively, what do they do well? They don't do anything well, really, offensively. They need to find a running game. I think it starts there. And maybe Kyle Long going on IR, the change at right guard will help get this offense together. I don't think it's simply just that one personnel move that's going to get this thing going. So, we'll see. Look, you don't have – They don't face Kamara. You don't face Drew Brees. Teddy Bridgewater, he's a great quarterback as far as a backup.
Yeah.
And he is going to get paid if he continues on this trajectory. But he does a lot of checkdowns. They don't put the ball in his hands to throw it deep and to try to, win games 28-10. I mean, they're winning games 12-10. They're winning games, 17-15.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been defensive-minded first.
Yeah. In fact, these two teams pretty similar when it comes to the skew between offensive and defensive rankings. So what we're saying is expect the under in this one. So let's go to the news that happened in the NFL last night, and that is, of course, regarding Patrick Mahomes. Now, the good news is the Chiefs beat the Broncos 30-6, but the bad news is we all saw that gruesome injury for Patrick Mahomes where they popped his kneecap back into place. So the latest is the MRI shows no further damage than that dislocated kneecap. The expectation, though, is that Mahomes is out 3 weeks. Matt Moore is now the backup in Kansas City. But here's where it gets really interesting regarding the Bears. Those 3 weeks include the Packers, the Vikings, and the Titans. So those used to look like very challenging games for the Packers and the Vikings. And this very well could affect the NFC North in Mahomes' injury being out even just 3 weeks.
Well, if we saw the Chiefs' defense from last night show up against those games, then they'll be fine. But it is a big blow, and this guy is one of the faces of the league, and how it impacts the Chiefs in general in the AFC is home field advantage. They're going to have to probably go to Foxborough if they're going to play. But as far as for the Bears, it does impact them, unfortunately, with the slate that you just said.
It also impacts a lot of fantasy owners in their respective leagues because that's a lot of points that just went down the drain. He'll be healthy by the time, I think they come here in December, if I'm not mistaken, a Sunday night game.
Of course he'll be fine.
You'll
for
see
the
him,
Bears.
Man.
Yeah,
of course,
conveniently so, but somehow missing the game against the Packers.
We'll
Curious
see. I mean,
timing.
Look, this injury, while it looks like he's only going to be out a few weeks, I mean, this could be something that nags Patrick Mahomes all season long, even when he comes back and he faces the Bears down the road.
Yeah, we in Chicago know all too well the effects of knee injuries, especially as I speak in this building at the United Center. We have more to come here on Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. It is a live edition as we get you ready for Blackhawks hockey. Pre-game's at the top of the hour with Pat. We take you up until then.
Your Bulls, your way, anywhere, anytime. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Stream games and get the best Bulls coverage in Chicago at your fingertips. Download the My Teams app today.
The new book is titled Eddie Olczyk, Beating the Odds in Hockey and in Life. It is written by Eddie Olczyk and award-winning Canadian journalist Perry Lefko, and a foreword written by the Hockey Hall of Famer Pat Foley. It is out now wherever you buy books, and you can see Eddie in person tomorrow for a book signing at the Costco in Schaumburg. That begins at noon, because things aren't good enough at the Costco in Schaumburg. You get free samples at Costco on Saturday. Everybody knows this. And you get Eddie Olczyk at the Costco in Schaumburg. That's not bad.
Cool.
Yeah, that's fun. It's going to be a great read. We are very happy that Edzo wrote this book. And joining us now, Chris Cook, Adam Burrish, as we talk more pucks, Charlie Romeliotis, nice enough to enjoy
the whole
show. I'm the
one constant on this
today.
Line, me and you.
I know, this is a
changing line mates here.
We are line changing a lot, quite the rotating panel. So we'll start with you two, Chris and Adam. Your impressions of the Hawks after a huge win over the Edmonton Oilers as they get ready for this evening.
Chris and I just did a podcast, and we talked about it, that was the best, that second period in particular was the best period the Blackhawks have played all year. That was by far the best game they played all year. And what was the formula? It was physical play. It was not the pretty cycle around, make beautiful plays. It was win a face-off, shoot, get to the net. And what was the common theme with it all? One guy, it wasn't Patrick Kane, it was Andrew Shaw. Yeah. He was the one that dragged that team into this fight, and it was something that the team we hadn't seen in a couple years, and man, we saw it in that Edmonton game.
You said it. They've doubled their hit total average already through four games than last year, and I think that was the element they were missing last season. Now, I don't think they necessarily want to lead the league in hits, but being tougher to play against is something that they want to have that identity this year, right?
Big time. Big time. That's it, and that was the missing, for me, the last 2 years, that was the missing piece, and people want to say, well, their defense wasn't great, and it wasn't. But when you're not defending great and you're not physical, man, that's an easy game for people to come into United Center and play against. Now, after that Edmonton game, I think this team feels it. You hear it in interviews. You hear what the coach has been saying, what Jeremy's been saying. Man, when you're physical and you can score like the Blackhawks can, that's a dangerous combination.
When we go back at the end of this homestand, you might look at that second period against the Oilers as the turning point, really, of this homestand. It's too early to say it's the turning point of the season, but they had played poorly in every second period up till then. And I know that they studied before the game, they studied film about that, say, okay, let's go back to what we did well in second periods in the past. And they came out flying. They kept the momentum going. You mentioned with the hits. I think, you know, Calvin DeHaan, I think his return to the lineup has really kind of solidified that back end. To me, you know, he's not very flashy. You're not going to call his name very often, but he's so solid back there. He makes the correct plays. He can get the puck out of the zone. To me, that's been a big boost right there.
Let me ask you guys a question since we have you here, and you mentioned that physicality. Do you think that that's something we need to see more out of the Blackhawks this season? Because traditionally, that's not always something that we saw out of this team.
Yeah, Layla, well, people call me a meathead and an old school and a plug.
An old school.
And all I want is fighting.
Just
and
chiming in over here.
Yeah, I hear you, Chris. Yeah, yeah. But that's what you need to do to win. And I go back to the Stanley Cup Finals. Look at playoff hockey. Look at Stanley Cup Final hockey. Look what the St. Louis Blues did. And Chris and I talked. Look, he covered the Washington Capitals for a while. Look at that team. They were physical. Yeah. They were in your face. And, yeah, it's fun to score six or seven goals a game. And you can do that, and you can be physical and in people's face.
I also think it's team unity also. Like, someone takes a run at your guys. Yeah. And how many times last year we see a big guy get hit and, you know, there wasn't really a response from Chicago's end? I feel they have that this year with Andrew Shaw and Zach Smith and Ryan Carpenter. So I think that's also another element to that physicality that you're talking
about.
It's
not about laying, you know, legal hits. It's about finishing your checks, but it's also about making that guy going in the corner maybe thinking for a split second, I might get hit here, and by that time, you've got an advantage, you've got the puck, and you're going the other way. Yeah.
So the Blackhawks, we also know that it's Marian Hossa bobblehead giveaway night. Everybody's pretty hyped for that.
Yeah.
But we're also going to see Dave Bolin in one last shift. And Patrick Kane, nice piece on our website, Jonathan Toews, talked about the importance of him outside of 17 seconds. That is what he is most famous for. But when you think of Dave Bolin, what do you think of?
I think of a rat, and just an absolute rat to play against. He played with the chip on his shoulder, and people loved him in Chicago, and he didn't score 40 goals a year. He was a skilled player, but why do people love him in Chicago? Because he was kind of a Chicago guy. He was a undersized guy. He was a guy that wasn't the superstar, but he kind of made himself a superstar with his attitude and his work ethic and his kind of no-nonsense. I was the loudmouth. Dave Bolin was not a loudmouth, but he played like a loudmouth. He was annoying in practice to us. He was hard to play against in practice, and every time we played, everybody on the other team hated him.
Yeah.
And it pumped us up. It was exciting. He was the best.
One of my favorite memories of him is how good he was against the Sedin Twins against Vancouver. You saw it firsthand. Have you ever seen one guy get under the opponent's skin of two star players at the same time?
To be honest, I was kind of jealous because I was like, that's what I'm supposed to be doing, and he was better at it. I mean, nobody pissed people off on the other team more than Dave Bolin. And sometimes it was like, I'm not even trying to piss him off, but they hate me. And then you turn around, and Chris, you brought up that he would, and we didn't notice it all the time, but he'd skate off the ice and he'd whack somebody on the back of the leg.
Yeah, he just rake his stick along somebody's ankle as he skated to the bench, and the guy would look and go, oh, Bolin, that guy again. It was great stuff. I used to love watching him against the Canucks. You mentioned the Sedins. Tough to get those guys out of the game, but he did. You used to watch him in the face-off circle. Suddenly, they'd just be sparring with sticks with Dave Bolin, and you know that they were out of their game, and then the rest of the Blackhawks really, really took up the pace. Great guy to cover, great guy to talk to. Really looking forward to seeing him on the ice tonight, and I'm glad he's getting these accolades.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a fun thing to watch. It's also something where you see a lot of emotion when you're out there by yourself. I can't imagine what that feels like.
He loves this team. You know, you talked to him when he was in Toronto. I talked to him. He's like, I really love the Blackhawks. I love the Blackhawks fans. He wants to come back to Chicago, you know, when he's done. This is a guy who really loves this organization. The fans embrace him. You mentioned that. It's that workman-like mentality, right? If you work hard, Chicago Blackhawks fans or any Chicago fans are really going to take to you. And I think that he proves that. A guy maybe not the greatest skill, he scored a ton of goals in the O, but he kind of changed his game to a third liner, a fourth liner kind of grinder, and just did all the little things to help the Blackhawks win.
He talks about Chicago. I mean, he and I, since we've both been done, he tries, in the last couple of years, he's tried to get back here as much as he can. He flies in for weekends just to hang out and see old friends and go to restaurants that he liked and go for drinks and have a good time. But he's always loved it, and I think he's always hoped that a road sometime would lead him back here. And I know he's going to be around a lot more this year doing stuff with the team, and I think it's pretty neat that he's the guy in kind of the 2010 reunion that we're going through this year, that he's the first guy to kind of be honored. And I know he's pretty darn excited about it.
Yeah, that is something that everybody's looking forward to, that reunion. I don't think any of us like admitting how long it's been.
I know.
Once 2020 hits, but it is something that's special. And to see him get that one more shift is really cool, too.
It's just going to be fun, and especially when the big reunion comes, when everybody can get back in town and get together. Buckle up, I guess, because that one could get fun.
We have a couple months. Everybody get ready. Get your New Year's resolutions out of the way. It's going to be fun. Adam Birch, we appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you at the top of the hour on Blackhawks Pregame Live. Chris Cook, always nice to see you
as well.
Blackhawks as well. So we have more to come here on Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Two absolute legends, a gold medalist and a history maker, join me next. Billie Jean King and Kendall Coyne Schofield. Stay with us.
Get all of your Blackhawks news in the palm of your hand with the My Teams app by NBC Sports. The best place to stream the games, watch highlights, read articles, and more. Download the My Teams app today.
So we have an incredible event coming up at 5th Third Arena. It is the Magellan Corporation Women's Hockey Showcase. You will see some of the best women's hockey players in the world. The 2018 Olympic gold medalist Kendall Coyne Schofield and Hillary Knight, Additionally, Marie-Philippe Poulin of Team Canada, gold medal winner herself, Nora Ratu, one of my favorites, the Minnesota Golden Gopher. She is an excellent goalie. Angela Ruggiero will be there as well. Cami Granato, it is a who's who of women's hockey, and it is a fun event over the weekend. Just around the corner from the United Center at Fifth Third Arena. I'm proud to say that joining us now, the legendary Billie Jean King and also Kendall Coyne Schofield.
Thanks, Jean.
Kendall, we won't talk about who your honorary team was this morning to start, but we will discuss.
She had a great workout.
She did, with the blue jacket.
All of us in Chicago love Kenny McCutcheon near and dear to our heart. He's been one of my skills coaches since I was 13 years old, so anytime he comes to town, I try to meet up with him, and he said, hey, do you want to get on the ice today? And everyone that knows me knows I can't stay away from an ice arena, and so that was a pretty special moment right there, just to get back on the ice with him and to skate alongside the men. It was awesome.
And you've done that before, as we all know, the NHL skills competition, so nothing that you were new to, that is for sure. You know that we know we're going to see you play over the weekend. You didn't have to put the skates on, but you did anyway.
Yes, and, you know, it was awesome that they let me get out there, and I think it just, again, we continue to push the envelope in women's hockey that, hey, we belong in the sport no matter if we're men or women. It's, you know, we're hockey players. And, you know, Coach Tortorella gave the okay for me to be on the ice this morning, and thanks to Coach Kenny for letting me out there as well. It was pretty cool.
Really? Do I have the dream, Layla and Charlie? Girls have to have the dream and have something just like the guys. Come on. My younger brother played 12 years of professional baseball. You know, and women's tennis will be 50 years next year will be professional. And that's what we want for the women's hockey players. We really want a sustainable league.
And that's something that has been in the news. We discussed it amongst ourselves last
yes.
week when you met with Lori Lightfoot, our mayor. So to have this be front and center, to have this promotion, the Blackhawks, of course, hosting, what
They've
do you think
great.
Of the support?
The Blackhawks organization has been fantastic, and obviously Bob Arthur and Magellan Corporation. Without them, we would not be having this opportunity. But I am just so excited to see, you know, all these four women's teams. We got over 35 Olympians. I mean, we couldn't ask for any more. And then we got this one over here with her, not only her gold medal, but her sixth world gold. So that's good.
Yes. I think, Layla, what's so exciting about this weekend for us coming to Chicago is not only is this the first time women's professional hockey has come through the city of Chicago, obviously the best city in the world. you know, I'm biased. But, you know, because of the resources that have been provided through Magellan, you know, through the Blackhawks, through Billie Jean King Enterprises, we're able to come here through their resources and put the best product on the ice. We've never had the best players on the ice in the professional landscape before, and this is the first time.
When I think about the 2018 Olympics, your team really was one of the great moments of those games. And a lot was made of the men's side. It was the first time in a long time that they wouldn't see the professionals. But the women's game had the highest level players in the world at their skills. That was one of the most exciting games in Olympic hockey history, that shootout. You're going to see Marie-Philippe Poulin, who was on that team, who's one of the best. That was a moment where you could say it wasn't just a women's sports moment, and Billy, you can speak to this, of course. It was a moment that really helped define the games for the United States, who didn't have a ton of bright spots like we were used to seeing. But your team was one of them. And this is a way to have that attention go on and have the awareness go on. This is the highest level of hockey that you can see out of this group this weekend.
I can't wait. I know nothing about hockey, so I just keep. I'm on a learning curve that is outrageous. And tonight I'm supposed to. Oh my gosh! I have to hit the puck. Oh my
Shoot
god! I don't even know what. I'm not probably not even writing. I'm not even saying the right terms. Probably. All I know is I'm trying to get the puck.
You're shooting.
I'm shooting. Oh, that's good. I can shoot. No, I'm kidding.
Shoot the puck. You can also shoot herbs, of course.
I used to. But
I stayed up for that game, and it was a phenomenal hockey game. Just in general. Take us through the preparation of this weekend and getting the commitment of all these girls, these 35 Olympians and whatnot.
Yeah, the commitment piece from the players was the easy part. It's the organizing that we're not really used to as players, whether it's, you know, ordering meals, buses, hotels, and just putting the event together and making sure it's a special event. The hockey part's the easy part. That's what we know what we do best. So, but I think what's so important about this weekend is you guys are talking about the 2018 Olympics and how special that was, but we're trying to create that platform every day, not every 4 years, because we're working so hard every day. And as you can see, one of the most important parts of this weekend is being on the ice with the young girls, the next generation, who's going to fill our skates one day and hopefully not hopefully, they will grow up knowing that they can make a living playing the sport if they're good enough to do so, just like Billy did in the sport of tennis.
The big change is they now have an association. Now they have one voice. So if we can get to the negotiation table, that's going to create a different way of doing things. And before, they didn't have one voice, and now they have one voice. And that will start to change the landscape because they're all together. We're having a players' meeting tomorrow. I mean, it's almost 200 players that signed up. So that's really going to set the table for the next step we have to take. And there's a lot of work ahead, but we can do this. And it would be perfect in a perfect world if the NHL would help have a women's NHL. And we've been talking to Gary Bettman. He's really a great guy, and he's very focused on this. It's not like we're not just talking about it. There's a lot of focus. But it would be great if we could start with six original teams in women's, like they did with the men, 100 years ago or whatever. So, but with 100 years have gone by now, we have no women's professional hockey league that can really sustain them and also be able to make a living. That's the dream. You want to be able to make a living just like the guys. And when you're growing up as a girl, you do have the same dream. So it's very important that we find ways to make this happen. And there's also growth opportunities with girls and women. That's where the real growth is going to happen in sports.
Yeah, I think I would speak for a lot of people. I would love to see one league. I mean, it's a very entertaining product. How can the NHL help in this situation? Is it on them to step in, or is it like how can we make this happen?
Well, I think it's really important if some of the clubs would come forward and start saying,
we want
to do this. You know,
right.
if a club wants to do it, I mean, you have to worry about the operations of it. Are they close enough to get started, keep the costs down? Because it's a huge investment, just like it was a huge investment 100 years ago. You can't compare them. You can only compare them historically that we need the first year and then see how it goes. But if the clubs would willing to step up in the league, I mean, it's not that easy because I've talked to Gary. And he's been amazing, actually. He's been very good, and he's very focused on it. And I just hope that sooner than later there can be an announcement. I don't know, in the next few months, hopefully.
But I think the big part with the NHL, though, there's no league in hockey that can bring the credibility, that can bring the infrastructure, that
Correct.
Can bring the validity to the game that the NHL would bring. You know, everyone
yep.
talks about the all-star moment in my skate. And I always say it wasn't who skated and how I skated it. It was the platform it was skated on. And that's why we need to create that platform, through the resources and the infrastructure that the NHL already has, and the game will grow exponentially from that.
And Kendall, what do you think of Billie Jean getting involved in this? Because it does lend a lot of credibility and gravity to this situation.
Well, we knew our task wasn't going to be easy. We knew it was daunting. And, I mean, I'm honestly speechless that we have such a leader, a role model, teacher, and like Billie Jean alongside. We can't thank her enough. We can't thank her team enough for their support. And honestly, this has been a huge learning curve and education piece for all of us. I went to the U.S. Open, went through her museum, and I was honestly in tears by the end of it because there's so many parallels to her story and to what we're doing today. And the fact that we are able to lean on her for guidance and support and optimism, because this hasn't been easy. There's been a lot of long nights, little sleep, but we see what she's done. And being at the U.S. Open and seeing the men win $3.85 million and the women win $3.85 million, we're in the building that Billie Jean built. That was what she built. And just to see that and witness that, it was incredible.
Well, you're looking at this is the leader. Kendall is the one that stays up late, and some of the others in the past have too. The difference is they're finally together, and that's going to make the difference. But Kendall is definitely their leader. She stepped up. She's the president. Aren't you the president? I think you were voted the president, weren't you?
If she's not, she should be.
Yeah. No, I know, but they have their officers, I think, within the association. But, no, it's someone has to lead, and you've basically been chosen to lead because followers choose leaders, so obviously they want you to do it. And so
well,
I think
we
it's
chose
right.
you.
No, you're the one. You're hockey. You're the ones that are going to make the difference. You're the ones that they're going to look back on and say, "This group did it, and you can do this." It's going to take a lot, though, and it's really it's very impressive.
It's a fun moment to watch just now because that is something that we can definitely take away from it. It is going to be a fun event. Billie Jean King gets a hockey stick. Kendall Korn is going to skate along with some of the best women's players in the world. The Magellan's Women's Hockey Showcase. It is this weekend at 5th Third. You don't want to miss it. These two will be there. We thank you for your time. More Sports Talk Live presented by the Chevy Silverado after this.